Some of you look familiar to me, not just the guys that are in Yeshiva already, but maybe in Eretz Yisrael. Some of you at the racist thing when I was there this year or last year. I want to talk to you just for a few minutes, a little bit about my yotzim in our life. You're at a time, it's a transition time. I know it's hard for many of you. I speak to the guys after leaving Eretz Yisrael. All of you, I'm sure, representing different yeshivas. And you have the chevra in yeshiva. And you feel very connected to those places and to the bayim. And to the schus to be in Yerushalayim, wherever else in Eretz Yisrael you are. And it's very, very hard. It's very hard to leave. And there's a feeling when you come here, there's a certain feeling of coldness, of distance, after Eretz Yisrael and Pesach. And it's a little bit scary. It's a little scary, intimidating. I don't know if any of you are feeling any of this right now. I guess some of you are feeling this. And I remember how I felt, and I'm sure that you feel the same. So I want to talk to you a little bit about what it is now that you're entering into. Not about the yeshiva. You'll be hearing a lot about the yeshiva. You'll be meeting different rebbeim. There's so many wonderful people here. There are also certain people you should avoid. At least you'll find that out on your own. But there are mostly wonderful, wonderful people here. I was away from here for over 35 years. And I was scared to come back. But I have found the yeshiva to be an exceptional place with exceptional people. So let's talk a little bit. Emes. The question is, what happened that was different by Kriyas Yamsuf? What was the chiddush of Kriyas Yamsuf? When you look in Chazal, and especially when you look in the Svarim HaKadoshim, it's very, very clear that there were two shlavim, there were two stages. There was the stage, the time of Yetzias Mitzrayim, and there was Kriyas Yamsuf. And without both of those, there was no possibility of Chayus Olam, of becoming people who would be free forever to decide to become what we want to become, to be Jews. The Ma'ase, you know that Moshe Rabbeinu himself didn't expect this whole Kriyas Yamsuf thing. As far as Yetzias Mitzrayim, they were preparing for it. The whole thing took over a year, preparing, and all of the makis and everything that was happening in Mitzrayim. But when it came to Kriyas Yamsuf, by the time they got to Yamsuf, there was no expectation, even on Moshe Rabbeinu's part, that he was going to see an Egyptian face again. That anything was going to be again, that there was going to have to be any more confrontations with the Mitzrayim. Moshe Rabbeinu and Bnei Yisrael all felt that we were finished with that, that we had moved on. So the question is, why did Hashem Yisroel do that? Why did Hashem Yisroel bring us to such a situation at Yamsuf? What's the chiddush? What was mischadesh by Yamsuf? What is it that we were missing, that we were lacking when we left Mitzrayim? What really changed us from being slaves who were free to becoming children? Because you know that all of the Giluyim of Kriyas Yam Suf are Giluyim of Malchuscha Ra'u Vanech. Vanech, to be the Baruch Shalom's children, to feel that we're his children. Not that just we're servants, that we're slaves. So we used to be slaves to Paro, now we're slaves to this mysterious God. But something changed when slaves became children. Something changed. The Navi says, Amzu Yatsarati Li Tihilasi Yisapeiru. Amzu Yatsarati Li Tihilasi Yisapeiru means that Am Yisrael was created for the singular purpose of telling the story of Hashem in the world. Amzu Yatsarati Li Tihilasi Yisapeiru. The Baruch Shalom wants Am Yisrael to be the storyteller. To be the storyteller. I'm sure that many of you have heard that Rabbi Nachman Breslov of Switzerland has said that by the Goyim, they tell stories to put the children to sleep. But by Jews, we tell stories to keep the children awake. And then Am Yisrael was given the responsibility, the tafkid, of Amzu Yatsarati Li Tehilasi Yisaperu, to be the nation that tells the story of the Baruch Shem, to be the people that tells the world that there's such a thing as a Bar Yom, there's a God. And there's a tachlis to being in this world. So Am Yotzo in Mitzrayim, the Chiddush of Yetzias Mitzrayim, is that we became Hashem's nation, we became Hashem's people. But the Baruch Shalom doesn't only want us to tell the story of his existence as a nation. The Baruch Shalom wants each and every one of us, you and I, each and every one of us, we were created. You with your background, with your intelligence, with your family, why you came into the world davki at this time, each and every one of us was sent into this world to be a storyteller. Tell the story. So let me explain what happened by Yom Tov. Can I say to you something very, very simple? What happened by Yom Tov was this. Chazal tell us that when we came to Yom Tov, there was a kitrug from Shemayim, a malochim, there was a kitrug from Shemayim. The Malachim had a taina, and the taina was Halalu Avdei Avodah Zarah V'Halalu Avdei Avodah Zarah. These are idol worshippers, meaning the Egyptians are idol worshippers, and the Jews are also idol worshippers. Halalu Megalei Arayis V'Halalu Megalei Arayis. So the Kitrug in Shemayim, that taina in Shemayim, it was not just in the mouths of the angels, the malachim. The Medrash puts it into their mouths. When you see these kind of Medrashim, you have to understand that on a deeper level, we ourselves were wondering about this. We ourselves were wondering, why is it that I survived? How come I survived Yetzias Mitzrayim, but my cousin, my brother, my uncle, my father, whatever it is, there are different people. As you know, 4/5 of the Jews died over there. Many of them didn't survive. And I survived. I told the story this past Shabbos in Shul, that when the Belzer Rebbe Sluzia, when it came to Eretz Yisrael, the first Shabbos that the Belzer Rebbe was in Eretz Yisrael, his escape was very miraculous. I don't know if any of you have ever heard of the Belzer Rebbe, Rabbi Arula, or seen anything about him. He was an Ish Kaddish. He was a Mamish in Ish Kaddish. When Lubavitcher Rebbe met him, he was by Lubavitcher Rebbe's Chasna. Lubavitcher Rebbe met him Rav Shlomi said about the Belzer Rebbe that his Sura on Chaimah, this means he's a neshama without a guf. It's like he wasn't of this world. And somehow, with great miracles, the Belzer Rebbe was brought to Eretz Yisrael. He made it past the Nazis. And many, many amazing stories how he did that. And the Belzer Rebbe came, and he spent the first Shabbos by the pier, by Haifa, by the port where he came. And the people who were there with him, for the most part, some Israelis came, but for the most part, the Jews who came to see the Belzer Rebbe were themselves survivors, Sheyus HaPleita. They were fellow survivors. And it was Parshas B'Shalach. It was Shabbos Shir. And the Rebbe said the first Torah that he said in Eretz Yisrael, that first amazing Shabbos in Haifa, when the Rebbe and his holy brother, Marcha B'Lagaraya, when the Rebbe and his brother escaped the Nazis and they arrived in Haifa, and the Rebbe said this, says in the Pasuk, Oz Yoshe Moishu of Nei Yisrael Zashira Hazois, then Moshe Rabbeinu will sing. And Rashi brings that we learn from here Tchias HaMeisim and HaTorah. Because it says in the future Moshe Rabbeinu will sing. And the Jewish people will sing in the future. So the Belzer Rebbe asked, why is it that they're only going to sing in the future? Why isn't the song now? Why wasn't the song complete when we were crossing through the ocean? Why only us, Yoshe Moshe, may Yisrael, Sashir HaZayis, Vayayimu Leimer in the future? So the Belzer Rebbe said, because every single Jew that was crossing through the Amsuf, every single Jew, had left behind so many in Mitzrayim, Jews that, for whatever reason, were unworthy of making it through, Jews that didn't get across the border of Mitzrayim with the rest of Am Yisrael. They didn't make it. They didn't get through. And they died in Mitzrayim. So how do you expect that the Jews, when they were crossing through Yam Suf, that each one of them would be singing? Or even if they would be singing, because they did sing, but how could the song be complete? How could my song be complete if I know that my parents died there? If I know that my child, my son, my daughter, my brother, my sister, I left behind in Mitzrayim? So the Belzer Rebbe started to cry, and all the Jews in that room, in that Beis Medrash in Haifa, began to cry. And the Belzer Rebbe said, Yidden Jews, you're wondering how I feel now that I've escaped with my brother, we've gotten out from the Nazis. There's a song, and it's Shabbos Shir, and we're singing this song together of liberation. But my song can't be complete. Our song can't be complete. None of our song is complete until Tchias HaMeisim, until we see our loved ones that will be back with us. Because each one of us has left so many of our loved ones behind in Mitzrayim. That's why it only says Oz Yoshe HaMeisim by Tchias HaMeisim. Then the song will be complete. So try to imagine. Until now, we left Mitzrayim as a nation. Am Yotzim in Mitzrayim, we left as a people. You know, back in the old days, not so far from here, there's a very, very holy place. It's called Yankee Stadium. I don't know if you've ever heard of it, and I'm hoping that none of you are Mets fans, Chas v'Shalom. But there's a place, Yankee Stadium, which, when I was growing up, I'm from Queens. It would have been a lot easier to go to Shea Stadium. I could have gone there by bicycle. I did when the Jets played, when it was football, but never for the Mets. Only when it was called Mayor's Trophy game, because then the Yankees would play the Mets. And even as a little kid, I would come to Shea Stadium with a Yankee uniform, and guys would throw their beer cans at me, but I would come with a Yankee uniform. Not so far from here is Yankee Stadium. And they used to have, I don't know if they still do this, they used to have this thing that's called general admission. And it was $1.50. It was $1.50 to get into general admission. Now, in general admission, you weren't assigned any seats. It's like at a Hasidic Chasna, you know? You weren't assigned any seat. didn't say, when you go to Lifshitz Chasna, the American Chasna, it's very cold. It tells you table six, where you have to see all the relatives you haven't spoken to in 25 years, right? But at a Chassidus Chasna, Master Chaimish, you know, you sit down, wherever you like, and if you feel like you'd like to have another piece of chicken, also the food's a lot better because it's not fancy, right? It's like a good piece of chicken. When you go to a fancy Chasna, you're not even sure what it is. So in a Chassidus Chasna, you eat at this table and you can move over to the next table, you could also. General admission means that you would pay $1.50 and you would come at the Yankee Stadium and they didn't give you a seat. You went into the bleachers all the way, like center field, all the way by the monuments, by the bleachers, and you just found a seat, like wherever you go. You came with a chevron, and it was some chevron. I was there at the time when Reggie Jackson hit 3 homers in the World Series. I was there for that game. We came with a couple of guys from Yeshiva. We went to the game, and we waited. It was already the third inning. And we were able to get scalpers who were selling tickets and got into the World Series. We paid $5 to get to the World Series. And Reggie Jackson had 3 home runs right in our area where we were sitting. When we came back to Yeshiva by train, we had a lot of chevra that were sitting on the train with the seats that they stole from Yankee Stadium. Not Jewish guys. But the local chevra that they stole seats from Yankee Stadium, and they were sitting on the train with the seats. That's how we came back. We came back to Yeshiva straight. We came back to Yeshiva. From the game, from the World Series. General admissions was a wild place. It was just wild. And everybody was busy stealing seats. And just, we had a couple of yeshiva bachurim that were sitting and just like enjoying watching what was going on. And the police came with horses and they started hitting us. They started hitting us with it. Because I know we weren't doing anything. We were just watching. But I guess they thought we were troublemakers or something. Everybody else was stealing the seats. And they were hitting us with it. General admissions. It was something. So when we left Mitzrayim, we left as a nation, as a people, and we just like ran out, like thousands and thousands and thousands of people, general admissions, you know? We're free. We're free. My father's always on sign. He should be well. My father just celebrated his 93rd birthday 2 weeks ago. My father's a Holocaust survivor. My mother, they're both Holocaust survivors. My father described to me how when the gates opened and when they were able to leave, they just ran and they ran and they ran and they ran. They just wanted to get as far away as they could. But he told me, and we were just talking about this past Shabbos, they were by us, on Yom Tov. My father said, but you know, the hardest time was after we were finished running and we met them, the Americans, and they were taking us to the DP camps and so on. But then each one of us had to decide, like, what am I going to do now? Like, everybody's dead. What am I going to do? Where am I going to go? So listen, Chevron. We left Mitzrayim as a nation. And then we came to Yamsuf. And at Yamsuf, the angels were saying, what makes them, these people here, what gives them the right to survive? And many of us felt back then, we ourselves didn't know. We ourselves didn't know what we really believed in and who we really are and what life is about. We didn't really know. There's an amazing Torah from the Sfas Emes. It says in the Pasuk in Tehillim, Ata pararta ba'oz chayom, that Hashem is baruch, Ata pararta ba'oz chayom, that Hashem crumbled the ocean. He crumbled it. And the Sfas Emes says that the deeper meaning of Hashem making the Yamsuf into crumbs, like it says, that Kadosh Baruch Hu made, we have a source for this in Chazal as well, that Kadosh Baruch Hu gave each individual Jew his own lane, his own place. Until now, we were just going as a big nation, as a people. But now Hashem is Baruch Hu, Ata Pararta Ba'oz Chayon, with Hashem's strength, he crumbled the Yamsuf, and the Sfas Emes says, into Pirurim. Pirurim means crumbs. And the deeper meaning of this is, that until this point, I just came out of Mitzrayim in general admissions, like with the rest of Am Yisrael. But now the question is, am I ready to take a dive into the Yamsuf myself, as an individual person? Because according to the Tzaddikim, Hashem made a separate lane for each person. And you know that we all look back to see, what's Moshe Rabbeinu going to do? Because until now, everything we did was we just followed Moshe Rabbeinu, right? Until now, everything was just following Moshe Rabbeinu. But now the strangest thing happened. Moshe Rabbeinu himself didn't know what to do. Now, you know, Moshe Rabbeinu was davening, and Hashem says to Moshe Rabbeinu, Ma titzak elai? What are you screaming to me? What are you davening to me? Dabra b'nei Yisrael v'Yisrael, tell the Jews to go. And according to Chazal, and what the Sfasemes is saying, is that we stood there and we were paralyzed. The Meshech Chochmah says in Parashat B'Shalach, he brings the Mechilta, Rabbi Yehuda Omar Kadosh Baruch Hu L'Moshe, Moshe, Ein Lehem L'Yisrael El Elisa. Hashem Zbach says to Moshe Rabbeinu, the Jews have to go. So the Meshech Chochmah says, near the Mefarish, the Kol B'nei Yisrael Holchu Achrei Moshe Kitzayin V'Bikah Achrei Raya, that until now, all of B'nei Yisrael is following Moshe Rabbeinu like a sheep followed the shepherd, until now. Omnam B'yam Tziv HaKadosh Baruch Hu L'Moshe She'isa Achrei Ha'am. But by Yom Tzuch, Hashem Zbach told Moshe Rabbeinu, you don't move, you don't go anywhere. You stay in the back, you're not moving. And each one of us stood. You ever see, like, by the Olympics, how the swimming guys, right? They have like a lane, you know what I'm talking about? By the swimming competition, you get your lane. Not like in the pool when we all just jump on each other. You have a lane. So Chazal tells us that every single Jew stood by the ocean shaking, and he had his crumb, ato pararta ba'ozchaya, his own place, where he had to decide at this point, am I prepared to move forward? Not that I just ran out with the entire nation. Anybody can do that. So they survived. For whatever reason they survived, but the question is, I myself as an individual, as a person, as a yid, as a Jew, who am I? What's my tachlis? Chazal bring the pasuk in Shir Shirim, Yonosi b'chag v'hasel. Hashmi is kerlech, harini is marach. Yonosi b'chag v'hasel b'seisa hamadreg. That means Hashem compares, in Shir Shirim, the Jewish people compared to Yonosi, to a dove. B'chag v'hasel, that's in the cleft of the rock, b'seisa hamadreg, by the opening, by the cave of a mountain. And the Yonah and the dove doesn't know what to do. There's a hawk that's chasing the dove, and the dove is running to get into a cave. And the Yonah is trying to get into this little hole by the cave, and then looks inside, and there's a snake. It starts to hiss, and there's a snake inside the cave. Yonosi b'chag v'asela b'seisa hamadrega. And the Am Yisrael, every single Jew, all of a sudden felt that it's not just about my being part of a chevra. I'm an Ativ guy. I'm a Shraga guy. I'm a Shalavim guy. I'm a Kerem B'Yavna guy. I don't want to leave out our notes, whatever the yeshiva is. Vayol Moshe. I don't know what yeshiva is from. I'm that guy that's part of the Chevra. I'm part of a Chevra. And there's a very big Niti here, you'll see. There's a very big Niti. It's normal and it's natural for people to stick with their friends and to stay part of their clique, to stay part of the Chevra. It's nice, but there's also something not so good about it. Not to be able to move out of that chevra a little bit, to grow. But it's the nature of a person to try to just travel with his chevra, to go in on general admissions. And Hashem Yisbarach said, that's how you left Mitzrayim. But the Meshech Chochmah says, Omnam b'yam tzivak el shborok el moishe sheyisa achrei ha'am, v'heima be'emunosam bo yelchu b'soch hayam. Now that the spotlight was on each individual Jew, not as a people, not general admissions, are you ready to go forward? Are you ready to step into the ocean? Are you ready to make that sacrifice? That's the difference between a slave and a child. A slave does what he's told. But if you love your parents, if you're them as a child, and you're a devoted child to your parents, you make sacrifices that a slave could never think of making. In the schus of going into the water, yiboka lehem hayam, the ocean will divide. See, chevra, this is the nisayon of our generation. I spoke a little bit about this when I was talking in Rishis in the winter. We don't have any more such a strong musig of Am Yisrael. Jews live in Brooklyn, Jews live in the five towns, they live in Teaneck, they live in Muncie, they live in London, they live in Paris, they live in this place in Eretz Yisrael, that place in Eretz Yisrael. Jews are all over the place. We're no longer together as nations, as an Am, unfortunately, until Mashiach comes. We don't have this here. There are people that they, even in Yerushalayim, they daven Shachris here, they daven Mincha there, they daven Ma'ariv there, Shabbos here, during the weeks there. We don't have any more this feeling of Am Yisrael. When you're sitting at 2 o'clock in the morning and it's dark in the room and there's nobody that's watching you, it's just you and the one who created you, and you have your iPhone, you have your iPad, your smartphone, and it's a question of, are you going to go to that place, that sickening place that you've gone to in the past? Or are you going to give a shy, a scream out loud? You don't want to wake anybody else up. You don't want anybody to know. But inside your heart to give a shy and say, Yerushalayim, I'm one of your children. This does not become a child of yours. This is not befitting a child. And to slam the thing shut and to put it away. At that moment, there's no general admissions, you understand? There's no chevra. It doesn't make a difference whether you went to Shraga or you went to Nativ. It doesn't make a difference where you went. It doesn't make a difference whether you're from Teaneck or from Muncie or from Queens. It's only you and the God who created you. That's it. So at that moment, each and every person is transported back to that time when we stood by the Yam Suf, because it wasn't enough just for Hashem to take us out of Mitzrayim, because we left as a nation, as an Am. But the test of what your worth is and who you are and what your emunah is, only by Yam Suf, by Yaminu, by Hashem, by Moshe Avdo, what your emunah is, that's very much our generation. Our generation is very, very lonely. It's not so much about general admissions anymore. You don't have any more really kehillahs. Even by chassidim, a chassid is not so much of a chassidus anymore like it used to be. It's not like it used to be. It's not for now. It's not like it used to be. People are very lonely these days. A lot of it has to do with the technology, which brings a tremendous amount of loneliness, even though everybody's hooked up and everybody's always Facebooking and chatting groups and so on, but there's a tremendous, tremendous amount of loneliness. I feel sad every time I walk in the street and I see guys walking, you know, like bumping into walls, bumping into people, bumping into cars, and looking. It's a very pathetic and lonely time that we're in. People have never been able to talk to as many people at the same time, but there's such an unbelievable, unbearable feeling of loneliness. You know what's interesting? At the end of time, our main enemy in the world is Yishmael, right? The Yishmaelim, nachal? I don't have to explain that. The Maral says that what's interesting about the Yishmaelim, they're not counted. The Maral asks, why is it that Yishmael is not counted as one of the four Malchios? You know that. What are the four Malchios? Everybody say, Bavel, who? Paras Modai, Bavel, Paras, Yavam, and Edom. Right now, the Yishmaelim are terrorizing the entire world, right? And yet Yishmael is not one of the four Malchus. The Maral places Yishmael, as the Zohar does, that Yishmael is the last Seif, is the end of Edom. That's why what's strange now is this connection between the East and the West. Western Europe is infested now with Yishmael. The President of the United States is half Christian and half Muslim. It's very strange. It's very, very strange. Because Yishmael is at the end of Edom. What the Maral says is Yishmael doesn't have a malchus. The nature of Yishmael is that they are separate tribes. They're just tribes. They don't have a malchus. There's no malchus of Yishmael. What we see even now, the stabbings that have been taking place at Shem Yerachim, they quieted down a little bit. But with the stabbings and the terrorist attacks, the individual groups, ISIS, Hamas, individual Arabs that themselves, men, women, Yishmaelim, it's a malchus of Yechidim. It's no longer like Edom, Bavel, Paras. It's Yechidim, individuals that are terrorizing the world. It seems that before Mashiach comes, the great test that Am Yisrael is having is the test of Yam Suf. As individuals, And really, that's what it boils down to, Chevro, you're coming to yeshiva now. There's comfort that comes with seeing familiar faces. Part of being in high school and the experience of Eretz Yisrael, which is very geschmack and it's a lot of fun and so on, and you did a lot of growing, all of you, each one of you, I don't know you, but I'm sure, each in your own way. That's why you're here to learn Torah. But a lot of it is just being part of something. There are going to be days that you're here in yeshiva, and you're going to look up and you're going to see like 1,000 guys, but you feel totally alone. And you might come up with it, you might be the kind of person that has a taina, well, if they didn't do this to me, the yeshiva has to do this to me. When I was in Eretz Yisrael, a lot of guys, they keep on saying, when I was in Eretz Yisrael, we had this and we had that, and the Rebbeim were with us all the time, and we went on a tiyul, and now you're like, you know, this is not usual. I look out the window, it's not usual. And there are like a lot of guys here. And college gets the guys, it's a big challenge. It's a big challenge to keep up with school. School's hard. It's a big challenge. And there are all different things, a million different things that are going on. And you don't have the same ruach of Shabbos that we have Shabbos this year. This Shabbos, I'm going to be in the Shabbos of Panim. We have beautiful Shabbos this year. But it's not like being in that place where everybody's together. One of the things that's missing here in the yeshiva, because of the nature of the yeshiva, even though you have the most wonderful guys, a wonderful rebbeim, it's hard to have that feeling that it's a yeshiva like it was in Eretz Yisrael, where everybody was there and it was part of that one big thing, the yeshiva. Here, like everybody's running stuff. So, Chevra, it's time to grow up. It's no longer general admission. You belong to this place, you belong to that Chevra. The challenge now is going to be each and every one of you, whether or not you're prepared to go into your lane and find your lane in Yom Suf, to find your place. Are you going to go to Night Seder? Or are you going to let the college pull you away from that and just feel like there are a lot of guys that don't go? Are you going to be somebody that goes to Minyan? There are like 50 Minyanim out here every morning. But as many Minyanim as you have a lot of guys that are just sleeping in apartments and just hanging out somewhere, walking around in shorts with a coffee at 11 in the morning. You're not going to have people standing over you the way that you used to. It's not going to be like that. You're growing up. And there's a little bit of a feeling of Yonasi Mechag V'Yasel, with the same way that guy is alone at 2 in the morning next to his computer. And the question is, who are you? Who are you? Ayeka, where are you? What are you willing to give up to be a Jew? Are you willing to give up this moment of pleasure, this filthy pleasure? Are you willing to give up this moment because you're a Jew? Are you willing to give up an hour or more at night, 2 hours for a night, whatever it is? Are you willing to make these sacrifices? That's really the question of Kriyas Yom Suf. Are you willing to make your own personal sacrifice to be a Jew? That's what our generation is about. It's not anymore the big thing with Am Yisrael. That's when Mashiach comes. We're all over the place. It's not just general admission. So Hashem's Baruch is now asking each and every one of you, are you going to put in the kaychus? Are you going to make the effort? I could only say to you, to offer you, that right, the Zman is winding down. I'm not really going to be here afterwards. I can tell you that there are wonderful, wonderful rebbeim here. There are unbelievable mashgichim, fantastic mashgichim. But they're not going to come running after you. They're just not. No one's going to come running after you. It's a big place. There's a lot of guys here. No one's going to come running after you. You're going to have to decide whether or not you want to take that jump. You want to make that effort. No one's going to come in after you. It's really up to you. We're here. I'm here to talk to anybody that wants to talk. And the Mashgichim are here the whole week. I'm not here the whole week, only Mondays and Tuesdays. But the Mashgichim are here. And the Mamish Ibig again. They give themselves over to you. But if you're going to be one of these guys that hides in an apartment, that hides in the dormitory, and hides from your Rebbe, there are a lot of places to hide over here, you know that? A lot of places. It's a big place. There are a lot of places to hide. And there are a lot of Chevra that are hiding over here. Don't be one of those guys. Take advantage. There are tremendous Talmidei Chacham here. There's a lot of good stuff here. Take advantage. I want to give each and every one of you a bracha that you should be Matzliach. The Torah tells us that the definition of Hatzlocha is not whether you get an A+. Yosef is an Ish Matzliach because he was able to pass the tests that he was going through. That's what it means to be an Ish Matzliach. And I'm not talking about exams. I'm talking about the Nisyonos of the end of time that we're going through. This is a big Nisyon that we're in right now. So Hashem is about to help each and every one of you. Be Matzliach. You should have a Sipuk and Nefesh from your learning. You should have a Sipuk and Nefesh from the friendships that you form over here. You should become part of the tzibur that's davening, that's learning, because there's a lot of excitement in it, and a lot of people you can learn from. And that's chus in Mitzvah Shem. And that's chus, we should be zoichim in Mitzvah Shem to finally leave this place altogether, to go back to the place where we all belong. Mitzvah Shem with the gula shel amitis mehem yamin amin. Shimatz leh.
Thank you, Rabbi. I look forward to reading.